Okay, so go ahead and say your name.
Madeline Brown.
Alrighty. So what challenges has, or you, or someone you've worked with, would you say that whenever being related to a religious or a spiritual group?
In terms of, okay, yeah, sweet. So I grew up going to church, I was on a leadership team for Young Life, and just very involved in that atmosphere. But I think a lot of times, when I would be really struggling with something, I kind of used that as a front. So rather than it actually, being something that was helpful to me, during like the first big chunk that I was involved in it, I just kind of used it to hide, behind. So I would probably say that in terms of I wasn't allowing myself to grow in it, and people around me weren't really able to see that because I used it as this front.
Do you think that issue is more prevalent in religious groups than other groups?
I would say yes. The hometown that I grew up in was very much so, I call it like keeping up with the Joneses, and everyone always had up this very like put together front. And so I definitely think that, that was something there, but even here, I think I've seen that a lot, in incoming freshmen at A&M or even just throughout Young Life training. I've definitely seen that in other people as well.
So what strategies have you seen or were used on you or in any way, to help that issue?
Yeah, absolutely. So, like I said, I did Young Life, and even though I used that as a front for a while, I had a really wonderful Young Life leader that I don't know if she saw through it or what, but she just consistently pursued me, and outside of like when we actually had meeting times for like club or we call it campaigners, which is like a Bible study, she would ask to get coffee with me, and she would ask to take me to movies, and just really tried to break those walls down. And so I don't even know that it was a resource that I utilized, but she did everything she could to break down those barriers.
Would you say that you would want to use that strategy, or would there be other tweaks on it or a different way that if you were in that position?
Yeah, absolutely. So I am not actually yet a Young Life leader. We trained for about a year, and so my goal is to eventually be placed, but the dynamic here and the demographic is very different in the Brazos Valley from, I grew up in the DFW area, and so it's similar a little bit to maybe College Station, but like Bryan, Brenham, Hearn, especially something like Young Lives, working with teen moms, the demographic can look really different. I do still think that the pursuit is really important. One of the things that the guy training us always tells us is that we're going to need hugs after Friday night football games because we should get consistently rejected all night and continue to pursue those kids. I do think like relating to them may look a little bit different. I know like I don't want to say it was more convenient for a Young Life leader, but I think that I don't know exactly what that looks like in terms of adjusting to how to get, they might be more, because the things that they're going through here are a lot harder in terms of, like, a lot of times there's a lot of poverty. Some of the kids that come to club, I've been told, are homeless, and so they might have harder fronts to break down, and so different approaches might be more helpful, but I definitely think being consistent is the right approach.
So we were talking about the challenges that Young Life helps face. So what is some unique good opportunities that you believe that the population of youth that are already involved in religious or spiritual activities or church or just in their home life, what unique opportunities do they have that other youth demographics may not have?
Yeah, absolutely. A lot, honestly. I think that even just my experience growing up around the church, and then I nannied a few families where the kids were being brought up in the church, and they, a lot of times, and this does not go for all because I've seen it many ways, but a lot of times they're very healthy family dynamics, and the kids are, this is totally opinion, but the kids are being taught what I believe is truth from a young age. And if that's done well, then they're also being taught how to be open-minded and accepting though of other people and not be shoving it down their throat. And so I think that when done well, kids that are grown up around church activities or any religious activities, I think that religion brings people a lot of comfort when they have something that they believe is true. And so I know at least for my sisters and I, our family life was kind of hectic, but being around the church and everything like that, we had other adults that would love on us and would take us in. And I think that's a really beautiful aspect of being around a religious organization as a kid.
Which of your personal strengths that you believe you have do you think came out of being a part of that specific group?
Yeah, I think empathy, because when you, even though you're in an environment that is very comforting and very loving, you're seeing lots of different people and where they're coming from. And so being a part of getting to be, even through Young Life training, we were on, or not training, the leadership team my junior and senior year, we got to lead like some campaigner groups for middle schoolers and things like that. And just like the opportunity to listen. Young Life's motto is you have to earn the opportunity to be heard. And so even like as a freshman, you'll probably never, or as a sophomore, like a first year Young Life leader, you'll probably never give a club talk, which is like a message. And we never were allowed to give like club talks or anything like that as just like high school leaders, obviously. And I know like some ministries will let like kids lead in that way, which I think is really beautiful. But, I think just being forced to like sit and listen with those kids rather than trying to preach at them was a cool thing that Young Life taught me.
That's really cool. Okay, so which youth programs have you personally participated in?
Okay.
Well, not necessarily religious, any ones that you participated in.
Any youth programs?
Mm-hmm. So anything that is not directly school.
Okay, do, like, sports count? Okay, awesome. I was on drill team and danced competitively growing up, which was a fun dynamic. it was lots of fun. I played sports when I was little, but I was bad at them, so I don't know if that really should count. And then I did Young Life, obviously. My family did, my dad led my sisters and I really well through a lot of different volunteer organizations, so the four of us volunteered a lot together, which was really fun, like little animal shelters, and just places to get out of the house and see the world and serve it. But I'm trying to think, through my church, I feel like I'm probably forgetting things. I was in choir at school, just like different little ways to get involved, student council, fun stuff.
Okay, so Young Life is obviously the one that we're going to be a little bit more heavily focused on. So could you explain, like, a really quick crash course, the mission of Young Life and how it is set up and how it works with schools?
Yeah, great. So quick mission is to know Jesus Christ and make him known and to disciple these kids through friendship, being their friend, and then ultimately pointing them towards the cross and what that looks like, or just pointing them towards Jesus Christ and what that looks like. And so what that looks like is a little bit different than other religious organizations. We go to lunches, like at school, so, or we, I'm not currently yet a Young Life leader, but Young Life leaders will go to lunches, they'll go to football games, and just pursue kids. So not in a sense of there's no one holding a sign that's, like, anything religious on it, nothing like that. It's just they're just in the audience, and they just make friends with kids. So they make friends with kids at lunch tables. They make friends with kids in a crowd at a football game. And then the whole goal is we go out and we make friends, is what JP, who's training us, tells us. And then we invite them to club. So club is once a week. That's where we do, like, games, skits, music. And at the end, there's a quick little club talk, which is where we're feeding them the truth that we want them to hear. But it's designed for the person that is the farthest away from wanting to know who Jesus is. And so it doesn't look like this church service or anything like that. It looks a lot more like games and skits and fun. And then we tell them truth and they have the opportunity to take it or leave it at the end. But the night is not centered around that. And then Campaigners is also once a week. So once they come to club, then we invite them to Campaigners, which is where, if they are interested in accepting that relationship with Jesus that we've been telling them about, we teach them what that looks like, and we walk them how to study scripture. And then the goal is that you continue pursuing them and you continue being their friend as long as you're here and able to be a Young Life leader. And I mean, I'm graduated and I still call my Young Life leader and we're still friends. And so it's ultimately like this lifelong relationship that you're building, which I think is cool.
When were you first introduced to Young Life?
Yeah. So kind of crazy story, my parents were on committee. It was kind of weird because we had some family stuff going on, but they were on what's called committee, and so they hosted campaigners and things like that at our house when I was in, like, elementary school. So I would come home from, like, volleyball practice, and all these high schoolers would be in my house, and I was like, that's the coolest thing in the world. There's also wildlife for middle school, and so when I was in middle school, I went to wildlife, and then as a freshman, I went to Young Life.
I did not think of a follow-up question for that.
No, you're fine.
So, with Young Life, you told a lot about, like, how mentoring and where do you think Young Life is its strongest, and then where do you think Young Life could build, and, like, if you were involved, how would you help that build?
Yeah, totally. I think Young Life is its strongest in that it sees people and it sees kids, and it goes after how to love them in not an intimidating way. A lot of these kids have never heard of the word church or the word Jesus. They really don't want anything to do with him. And the biggest thing that we run into, especially I've heard in the Brazos Valley, is these kids that are, imagine being a kid that's been in an abusive situation or just been homeless. Like, if there is a God, he's mean, so I want nothing to do with him. And so I think Young Life does something really beautiful where they build friendship and relationship first, and they love the way that Jesus would, and then they bring them to a club rather than trying to preach this religious truth at them that they really want nothing to do with. I also love that Young Life sees specific dynamics. I'm really passionate about teen moms. I think that's stigmatized, and especially people in the religious community will preach, like, pro-life and things like that, and they do nothing to help those girls who are brave enough to carry those babies through. And so I think Young Life has a really beautiful ministry for that, and also special needs. They have a really, it's called Capernaum. It's a really wonderful ministry there that sees those kids are capable of, and that they can hear the gospel, and that they do know what it means, and that they can understand, and it sees that, and it loves them there. Something I think that Young Life does not do super well, I don't even know that it's, I don't know, it's their fault, but when I was in high school, and even now, my sisters are in high school, and they're like, it's just a ton of hypocrites. People that go there, they don't actually want to go to church. They're just doing it as a cover-up so that they can do whatever they want and their parents won't guess. And just like, it has this stigmatism of being hypocritical because the purpose is to reach people far. And so, yeah, I don't, if I was involved, it can look different in different dynamics, because I know my leaders did everything that they could to try to not make it be this, like, hypocritical party. And so I, in terms of actual tangible resources, I'm not sure, other than I think what was really cool was when Our Young Life leaders showed up to lunches and showed up to all of our school events. They came to dance competitions for us that were hours away from our hometown. And when they show those kids who aren't supporters of Young Life, like, hey, we love you, I think that was really cool because it just, like, it broke down those barriers that people try to put up. Wow. Good stuff.
So with your psychology interest and background, how do you think that straight up just like devotion and love, what do you think psychology side that does to kids that are either in or not also in the religious subcategory of children or
youth? Yeah, no, so interesting. Especially, I'm really interested in family and marriage therapy. And I've read some books recently, and one of the things that is just so important is for kids to feel safe and for them to feel secure and for them to feel loved. And when one of the things that we talk about at Young Life is that every club should be a safe place. So when we're checking club and like going over it afterwards and being like, how did that go? How do you think that went? It should be, was this safe? Like, did fights break out, which is actually like happened in the Brazos Valley, or like did kids feel forgotten or unseen? And so when we feel seen, it gives us an identity, and it gives us a place to belong, and it gives us community, which are all so essential in growth or things like that. And even there's been studies done on physical touch and how important it is in young kids or things like that. And so imagine if a kid's coming from like a violent situation and you come and you hug them or you put your hand on their shoulder, just things that you don't even think, some of the times we don't even think about, like, oh, that's important, or it's important for them. Like, some of us have been so fortunate in that we just have somewhere to belong, but not everyone does, and that's so important to our mental health, and just finding out who we are, what we believe in, and I think when someone is pursuing those kids, and giving them the option of, like, you can believe in this, you don't have to, but we're going to love you either way, I think is so important because it doesn't force them into anything, and it gives them just, like I said, a place to belong. I think that's super essential in our mental health.
And I'm sure that highly goes along with what I'm about to ask, but specifically the motivation aspect. I don't know, you basically answered the question already, so I'm not putting it to you. But with motivation, I could say, what would Young Life teach them, or how do they motivate them to excel them into further greater life things besides just like pursuing, which I know is so much of it, but if you like take a step back and look at the structure of Young Life, what is that doing to put that like seed of motivation into kids?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think even, so I can go off my experience and then seeing actually now behind the scenes of how Young Life works. When I was a Young Life kid, it's really easy to feel unseen. And when you don't feel seen, there's not a ton of motivation. And so in terms of someone sees what I'm doing, I want to do well. Or someone sees me, I want other people to feel seen. And so when, if you feel like you're blending into the crowd, there really isn't a ton of motivation if you just, like, put yourself in that position, little fish in a big pond kind of thing. But when you feel like, hey, someone sees how I'm doing at my dance competition, someone sees that, like, I'm applying to these colleges and I could get in, someone is supporting me, and someone, like, just this big idea of feeling seen, I think, at least in my experience, was a huge motivation factor. I think that is exponential in an area like the Brazos Valley, because things like poverty rates, and it breaks my heart to hear. I would love to do Young Lives, the teen mom aspect of it, and I've heard that a lot of girls from Wildlife will get put into Young Lives. A lot of times it's abusive things, or just like how do I want to word this? But imagine just putting yourself in their shoes, in terms of, like, some of them don't know the next time they're going to get a solid meal. Some of them, like, if you ask them, like, hey, like, where are you from? It's more so they'll tell you where they're staying tonight, not, like, where they live. And so if you just put yourself in that, like, that pair of shoes, your motivation then to go and get into a university and go and obtain a job and raise a family, things like that, seems so almost unrealistic for you. And so showing kids, like, you can do this, and we believe in you, and we see you, and we support you, I think is huge for their motivation because they feel seen, and they feel like, well, like, this person sees, they're coming to my basketball games. Like, JP, our head, tells stories all the time about how, like, you may not even get to have a conversation with the Young Life kid that's on the field, but if they look up at the stands and see you once, like, the whole game will change, just because they know that you drove however far you had to drive to get there, and you're sitting through that game to watch, not sitting through, but, like, if you, you know what I'm saying, like, on a Friday night, you're a college kid that is sitting and watching them even without the opportunity to get to talk to them about it. So imagine, you know what I'm saying? Like, something like that, you're so much more motivated in such a small sense to perform well at that football game. Mm-hmm. And so, like, on a greater scale, in all areas of life, like, when we feel seen, we're just more motivated.
That's so cool. I so much to know about, so much about Young Life. So that's the main part. Is there any aspects, like, either way, Young Life or just this smaller group, that you would like to apply any, it's like totally not after you're doing, but because you have, like, such specific interest in training in, like, literally Young Life and psychology and experiences, do you think there's any misconceptions or things about that population that you may be able to put some different light on?
Young Life?
Or either one, Young Life or just the demographic of youth that are involved somehow in religious or spiritual activity.
Yeah, I think there's a few, there's a few misconceptions. I know I've talked before about how, like, sometimes we can hide behind it. And so I think, like, as adults, I don't know if any adults would hear this, but it's just so important to, like, to ask questions and to be like, how are you doing? And not, you know what I'm saying, not let them use that as a front, because I think that sometimes we use it as such a cultural thing, and it's like just this habit of like, oh, I'm gonna go to church, and like, we just, like, the reality of our country is that we have crazy high anxiety and depression rates, and so I think kids can use that as a front. So that's something that, like, a small misconception is that those kids are like, that they don't need to be asked if they're okay, because they may be using it as a friend. And then in terms of Young Life, I think first year, it has a huge stigma of being hypocritical. And I would just say that it is the most beautiful ministry I've ever seen, especially to shed light on the fact that there are staff members, but those staff members get paid so little that they usually live in a host home. So they live with a family that's on committee. And then the rest of them are volunteer. And a lot of times it can average like 40 hours a week. So it's literally a full-time, basically unpaid job, that, like, these people are so passionate about, you know what I'm saying? And so they love these kids and they love what it stands for. And so I just think that the front of Young Life being hypocritical isn't really fair to what the actual ministry stands for, because they just want to love on kids and they want to do that really well. And there's so much work that goes into the, like, science behind how can we do that well in a way that's not overbearing, but in a way that it is intentional. And I just really believe in the ministry.
That's really interesting about the fact that they live with families on committee.
Yeah. I don't know if that happens everywhere, but that's how it was in my hometown. My Young Life leaders lived with my friends that their parents were on committee.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's insane. And that just shines light so much on the passion that you were saying about, mm-hmm. like, that, I think that can go along with any youth demographic, is that if there's somebody that is passionate about them and willing to, like, invest in them in a positive way, that it can just be so much more beneficial, which is a lot that we're starting. So, thank you. I don't have any other aspects. At this point, there's a lot of questions about your kids, and you don't have kids. So,
I don't.